Welcome to Speaking of Grace, the weekly message podcast from the Whole Life Church in Orlando, Florida. We're a multi-ethnic, multicultural, and multi-generational congregation committed to our mission of loving people into a lifelong friendship with God. We are committed to our vision of being a church without walls, fully engaged in serving the people of our community. Thank you for joining us as we continue Speaking of Grace.
Good morning, church family. I am Denise Butler. I've been a member of Whole Life Church for over 20 years. I know a lot of people at first service. I'm a little worried about second. I don't know as many people at second service. Our church is growing, and it's just a real blessing. I want to tell you a little bit about myself. I'm a scientist and a professor for 30 years, actually at the University of Michigan. That's a long story I can tell you about some other time. But you should imagine that today is going to be a lecture, right? I'm a college professor. So there's going to be definitions, there's going to be information, there's going to be homework, and I promise no quiz next week. So let me begin. I want to tell you a little bit that the message I'm going to deliver for you today is something that's been brewing in my heart for about a year and a half now, and it was first planted there by Ruth and Linda, two spiritual sisters of mine, and so God has just taken that and grown it huge, and I'm super excited to share it with you today. Not me, but the Lord. Okay, so the first question is, how good are you at remembering? You know, the truth is, we're not very good at it, right? So you met people this morning. Do you remember their middle name? Do you remember their birthday? Probably not, right? We are terrible at remembering. And unless you actually sat there and said, July 12th, July 12th, July 12th, over and over in your head, and really tried to sink it in, you don't remember. So this Nobel Prize winner Dan Kahneman said, mostly we are what we remember. And we're going to unpack that a little bit for you today. The word remember is used 1,200 times in the Bible. It's a pretty important word. Remember is the most repeated commandment in the Bible. Because remember, right? It's an imperative infinitive there. Remember, right? And S.W. Kimball said, remember may be the most important word in the Christian dictionary. Vocabulary. So let's talk about two remembers that everybody are familiar with in our church. The first one is remember the Sabbath day, right? The word Sabbath means rest. Imagine that thousands of years ago when the Ten Commandments were given to the Israelites, he told them to remember to rest and holy rest, right? The creation that he's given to us, the families, all of our blessings, he thought we would forget. So he's telling us to remember that. It's kind of amazing. And is it relevant for us today? In a 365, 24/7 society, remember to rest. Do this in remembrance of me. Now, this is the Lord's Supper, right? One of the most important things that we celebrate in Christianity, no matter what religion you're in, you celebrate the Lord's Supper. And why is Jesus telling us to do this in remembrance of him? Did he think we would forget what he did for us? Remember what I did for you when you eat and drink this meal. That is amazing that he thought we might forget. How important is it to God that we remember him? It's kind of an amazing thought. Ellen G. White says, we have nothing to fear for the future except that we shall forget the way the Lord has led us and his teaching in our past history, right? Okay, so do you have trouble remembering? Do you remember your wife's anniversary? Do you remember your children's birthday? Do you remember to take out the trash? I mean, we all forget, right? All of these things all the time. And the harder question is, do you remember God's stories in your life? That's really the harder question. It's probably the most critical question you can ever ask yourself, and I hope to convince you of that today. The recall that you have really tells you who you are and who God is in your life, and the business that he has for you. It's called holy vision, right? Because if you can see, you have the past, it helps you see the future that God has planned for you. So I'm gonna teach you a word today. It's called Zakar. Everybody say it. Okay, Zakar. Doesn't that sound like Shazam, Zakar? It's a power word, right? It's such a powerful word. I think that he gave us that word, remember, in Hebrew, because he wants us to remember, all right? And so let's Start with a definition. What does it mean to remember? It means to recollect, to bring to mind, to sear something in, to fix it in our minds. Okay, so that means we're really intentional about something if we're going to remember it, right? The opposite, forget, is you're unable to think or recall of something. And there's really three reasons why that generally happens. One is trauma. You know, a lot of times we suppress bad things that happen. We don't want to remember them. And so that's not something, you know, we control, but yet it happens. What about dementia? Sadly, we live in a society where a lot of people have dementia. I have family members that have dementia. And when you meet them, they look and feel and smell like the people I've known my whole life, but they are not them. Why are they not them? Because they don't have their memories. And so when I tell you that memory is the most important thing about us, I want you to believe that. And then there's laziness. You forget to, you know, important dates. You show up for a meeting that you forgot you had scheduled. You forget your children's birthday. All of those things are laziness. That's where the sin comes in. The sin comes in the laziness of memory. So let's see if we can unpack that. So in the book of Psalms, there is a term that has been coined called a maskil. And a maskil is a psalm that is going to teach you something. And there's 13 of them. And I'm going to break one down for you today, Psalm 78. But the definition is really to be prudent, have insight, or to understand. To teach or instruct, or to give moral insight is the way it's best understood. So we're going to work through this today with the idea that we're supposed to be learning from this. So Psalm 78 says, O my people, listen to my instructions. Open your ears to what I'm saying. For I will speak to you in a parable. I will teach you hidden lessons from our past, stories we have heard and known, stories our ancestors handed down to us. We will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about his power and his mighty wonders. For he issued his laws to Jacob. He gave his instructions to Israel. He commanded our ancestors to teach them to their children, so the next generation might know them, even the children not yet born yet, and they in turn will teach their own children. So each generation should set its hope anew on God, not forgetting his glorious miracles and obeying his commands. Then they will not be like their ancestors, stubborn, rebellious, unfaithful, refusing to give their hearts to God. Okay. And by the way, I'll come back to this a little bit later. This same psalm, some things that we didn't read yet. So, what stories are we telling? Now, I know everyone here knows the story of Noah and the ark, right? And Jonah and the whale. We all read these books. In fact, I want to tell you that my atheist colleagues know those stories, right? They're part of our public knowledge that we have. So, what stories are we telling? What stories are we telling? How and when and where has God shown up in your life? How has he been faithful to you? In what ways has he provided to you? And if you tell me that he hasn't, then I tell you you're thinking about it the wrong way. So the core point, God wants us to remember him when he has shown up, and he wants us to tell others about it. So if I remember him, I set my hope anew on who he is. By remembering, we build a heritage of faith, generation after generation. And let's just visit the Bible. One story, there are many, where we can break this down and see it in action. So the Israelites have been now in the desert for 40 years, and they finally are getting their chance to go to the promised land. Notice it's called the promised land. And once again, they're stuck by a body of water, and so God has to come in and open the body of water for them so that they can pass through into Canaan. So we're picking this up in Joshua chapter 4. When all the people had crossed the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, Now choose 12 men, one from each tribe. Tell them, take 12 stones from the very place where the priests are standing in the middle of the river, Jordan. Carry them out and pile them up at the place where you will camp tonight. So Joshua called together the 12 men he had chosen, one from each of the tribes of Israel. He told them, go into the middle of the Jordan in front of the Ark of the Covenant, and each of you must pick up one stone, carry it out on your shoulder, 12 stones in all, one for each of the 12 tribes of Israel. We will use these stones to build a memorial. In the future, your children will ask you, what do these stones mean? Then you can tell them, they remind us that the Jordan River stopped flowing when the Ark of the Covenant went across. These stones will stand as a memorial among the people of Israel forever. Remember, God started this conversation. He said, get the stones, build it. Why? Because you guys are going to forget that I parted this river for you to cross over, right? I mean, pitiful, pitiful. And these were people that were living in these miracles, right? And they even needed to be reminded and tell their children and their children's children. So this comes from a beautiful sermon by a woman named Chloe Gonzalez at Discovery Church right here in Orlando that I had the privilege to listen to. And she presents these ideas that God calls us to remember him and how his story intersects with our stories. And through that, we get God's promise, God's power, and his presence. So those are three things that we're going to look for in all of our stories: his presence, his power, and his promise. Now, let's just break that down in the story that we just read. So in the story we just read, what's the promise? Well, God promised Abraham a very long time ago that his descendants would go into the land of milk and honey, right? Generations before Joshua even showed up on the scene. And certainly for 40 years in the desert, they were promised to go into the promised land. Again, it's called the promised land, right? God's power. Well, that's pretty evident. There was a flame by night, there were clouds in the day, and there was rivers and oceans parting around them. So manna falling from heaven, lots of power happening there. And then, of course, his presence. God was with them. So what about us? I mean, those stories are great, and we need to tell the generation that we're in and future generations and anyone we can about the miracles of God. But what about the stories that God is doing in your life? So I just want to tell you that I'm in midlife now, and I just found out about a story in my family that is absolutely amazing. I have a great uncle who is super special to our family, and he was in World War II, and he was in South Germany, and they were de-mining a field, whatever that's called. I'm sorry if I'm using the wrong lingo. And he and a friend of his asked if they could leave. They asked the commander if they could leave and go to mass on a Sunday. And the commander said, okay, but come back soon. And when he got back, his entire platoon had been killed by a mine. But he and his friend survived. Now, that's a horrific story, right? But I'm still going to praise God that my uncle was saved in that story. What about me? I was driving my youngest daughter to school on her 13th birthday. We were hit in a head-on crash. That is my car. And we basically walked away. And I'm going to say praise God for that. Now, my grandparents were killed on their wedding anniversary by a head-on collision. I can't make sense of that, but I can tell you I'm still going to praise God for how he showed up for me. This is a fun story. So our family does a travel covenant whenever we travel, and when we first started it, one of my daughters was very young, and we write it, what's our role with God and what's God's role with us and on this trip, and then we all sign it and pray together. And my daughter was quite skeptical. She was about 5 at the time, and she packed this little purse, and it was jammed with everything that she wanted to bring on this trip. So if you travel abroad, usually you have to connect. So I think we flew to Atlanta, and then we were traveling overseas, and she had tucked her purse into the back seat of the seat in front of her, and we forgot about it when we got off the plane and went to the next plane. So we're sitting on the plane, and you know, probably in Atlanta, there's like many terminals that you have to go to, and we're just about to take off, and a flight attendant walks on the plane, walks right up to my daughter and says, excuse me, little girl, you forgot your purse on my flight. And she said, this is a miracle. We never do this stuff. And let me tell you, that skeptical little girl, she thought, maybe there's something to this. Now, those seem like trivial or big stories or little stories. What about just a beautiful day at the beach? You plan a day at the beach with your whole family to meet up, and the weather's fantastic, and all the food is yummy, and nobody gets food poisoning, and everybody gets there safely and gets home. That's a praise, right? Thank God that you had a beautiful day with your family. And I'll tell you another silly story. I was in the United Kingdom recently, and I was giving a really big talk, but while we were going there, I got a terrible blister on my toe. And I never get a blister. I was wearing comfortable shoes, but I got a blister. And I thought, how am I going to walk? Because that's all you do in Europe is walk, right? How am I going to do this? And so across the street from my hotel was a thrift store So I went in and they had a pair of shoes that fit me, that went with my outfits, and that didn't rub my blister. And so every time I put those shoes on, I say, thank you, God, for these pair of shoes that saved me on that trip, right? It seems trivial, but I'm telling you, if you pay attention, God shows up. The music today, I did not choose the worship music, and two of the three songs are songs I play every day in my home. So God was telling me he saw me, and that is gonna be on my praise going forward. All right, I can keep sharing it with anyone in my sphere of influence, all of these stories, and it gives access to his presence, his power, and his promises that he has given me. So when I remember God's presence, I am reminded of who God is. When I remember God's power, I am reminded of what God has done for me. And when I remember God's promise, I am reminded not only where I've been, but where he's leading me. And that's probably the key. Where are we going? So have you ever talked yourself out of a God moment? Right? I mean, there's lots of sunny days at the beach. I mean, it could have been a fluke that it was a lovely day, right? So let's think through this. Did I really experience that? Did it really happen? Did God really show up? I mean, anybody could go into a store and buy a pair of shoes, right? What is the magic, the God magic in that? So I think we have to work really hard to look for memorial stones, right? So those memorial stones were there to say, it wasn't a fluke that that river opened. God did that, right? So what are our memorial stones? We need modern day ones, right? Because we're not gonna put rock cairns all over the church and in our homes. So what are we gonna do to remember? So there's lots of things. Every time I slip that pair of shoes on, I say, thank you, God. I remember that you were there. Right now in my pocket, I have an acorn. This acorn has fuzz on it, sorry. I was just in North Carolina for a long weekend with my family, and I was visiting my parents. My mom, my father had COVID, and we were there helping him feel better and take care of him, and the weather was spectacular. And as I left, my mom handed me this, and she said, look, the first acorn of fall, and I'm going to keep that in my pocket for a while so I remember that beautiful weekend that we were there together. So I think we have to, I have a friend that carries a nail in his pocket always, so he remembers the cross and what Jesus did for him. You can carry a smooth stone with you to write something on it if you want. I have a ring, my friend Darlene and I have a ring where we write people's names on it that we're praying for so we don't forget not to pray for them. So we have to be intentional about this, right? This is not laziness. Remember, there were three reasons we forget stuff. We don't want to be lazy about what God is doing with us, through us, for us. Point us back and anchor us to his power, his promises, and his presence. So this is the most amazing of all the stories to me, is that we don't learn from our experiences, Trevor Hudson says, we learn when we reflect on them. So look at this verse. This is Mary, and she says, Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. Now, let's think about this. This is the woman who got to carry Jesus in her belly. She got to give birth to him. She got to do all the things. She was there with him through life, death, and resurrection. And she had to keep reminding herself of what happened over and over again. Oh my goodness, I was impregnated by the Holy Spirit. And then I gave birth in a manger. And then King showed up with these fabulous gifts. And then Jesus did miracles, turning water into wine at the wedding. And et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. She had to keep reminding herself of the stories so she wouldn't forget any of it. It's incredibly important, right? And if Mary has to do it, certainly we have to do it as well. So how do we do this, guys? I can't, like, as a professor, I can't, like, tell you if something needs to be done and not give you some tools. So here's our tools. So the first thing I want you to do, and I want you to do this first alone, and then I want you to do it again with your family or friends or people that, you know, you have experience with. Just sit and recall the things that have occurred and ask God to remind you of the things that happened. You can keep a sheet of paper even and just write them down as he brings them to mind for you. There'll be things you completely forgot about. Completely. I recently remembered, I was asking God, what have I forgot about? And I was alone in an airport once, and I was eating hummus, and I choked. And literally, I was in the bathroom, and I thought I was going to die. And I was going to die alone in an airport by myself, choking. And then, and magically, thank you, Jesus, it cleared up. But I was pretty blue, and I was pretty alone, so I was just going to pass out in the bathroom stall. And he showed up. So then I was able to write a whole praise to him about that. So You know, you have to be intentional. You have to sit and think, and then you can do it as a family. Get together as a family and say, hey, how did God show up? How can we remember? Do you remember that time we were flying somewhere and we missed our flight and then somehow we got on this other flight and we got there and it was even earlier than we thought? And whatever it is that your family has been through, you can even break that down together. So that's going back. Now I want to talk about moving forward. And moving forward, I'm going to introduce you to a practice that is an ancient practice. There is a verse in the Bible that says, follow the ancient paths, right? Because people have figured out this stuff way before we came along, okay? And the ancient path of examine is a way to prayerfully reflect on your day and discern God's presence and guidance in that day. You can also follow and, you know, look at places that potentially you were, you know, at fault. You have sin that you need to ask forgiveness for. You have praise you want to give, gratitude you want to give. But it's really to begin to look for how God is showing up in your day. And you want to do this every day. I usually do the exam when I walk the dog at night. I go through my day. I walk through, okay, I got up this morning, you know, had breakfast, did prayer time, and then I went down to the kitchen and, oh yeah, I was yelling at my husband about not taking out the garbage. I guess I better apologize to him for that. And then I'm like, oh, but then I had that big meeting I was sweating about and it went even better than I thought. Thank you, God, that you were in that meeting. I had prayed about it and you showed up for me and I even forgot about it already, right? It was on my heart for days. And the meeting, it was over. It's under the rug. I'm moving on. But then when I reflect on it, I say, God, I know you were there. You gave me the right words to say. The examine is a gateway to a new perspective on your life because it helps you see the past and the future through God's eyes. It helps us see beyond our present struggles. You know, you guys, we get so trapped up in what's happening right now. We can't even remember what God has done and how he did it before, and he'll do it again. So examining means paying attention. Now, I do want to tell you that there are books written about how to pay attention that you can read, lots of books. This is a learning to discern and listen and focus is not an easy thing. You know, in our society, we have gone from a 13-second attention span before cell phones to a 9-second attention span after cell phones, the smartphones. And the idea is, you know, how can we even pay attention to all the things that are happening? Without intention, we can't. It's impossible. So we want to sharpen our eyes and ears and senses to Jesus. Mary Magdalene showed up at the tomb. Jesus was standing right here and she's going, where'd they take him? Do you know where he is? She thought he was the gardener. Now, we think that's almost ludicrous, right? How did she not recognize Jesus was standing next to her? Because she was wrapped up in her own misery and grief. She didn't even open her eyes to see that the Lord was with her at that time. The road to Emmaus, same story, right? These two disciples are walking along the road and Jesus comes upside. They have this huge conversation for probably hours. They invite him to dinner and until he breaks the bread, they don't even know it's him. What is that about? The disciples were on the boat and Jesus comes walking towards them. They think it's a ghost. They don't even recognize it's God. Breakfast on the beach. So after Jesus risen, he goes to the beach. They're out fishing. He cooks breakfast. He's like, hey guys, come on, I have breakfast. They're like, who is that on the beach, right? And then finally, Peter recognizes it's Jesus. So these are people that walked with him. They missed him, right? So that means we're gonna have to work twice as hard to really pay attention, examine, and be intentional about finding him. But the good news is this. But when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything. And what will he do? Remind you of everything. So the first thing you do when you're going to do your examine is you say, God, the Holy Spirit, remind me. I don't want to miss any of it. Remind. And there's probably stuff that you didn't even notice that happened during the day that didn't even sink in. You want to be reminded. And I want to tell you something. The verse before this, you know what Jesus says? He says, it's better I leave you so the Holy Spirit can come and do all this magic stuff, right? That's unbelievable that Jesus says, it's better that I go and the Holy Spirit comes so he can remind you of all the stuff that you're reading, that you're studying, that you're experiencing. So what fills your mind? I mean, we can fill our mind with all of these amazing memories and all the things God is doing, or we can fill it with everything that we're seeing on these screens, right? Our children, what is filling our children's mind? I guarantee you right now, a lot of it is this. So So we have to be intentional. I want you to see the rest of that maskil. So remember, we started out in Psalm 78. Here's the rest of it. The warriors of Ephraim, though armed with bows, turned their backs and fled on the day of battle. They did not keep God's covenant and refused to live by his instructions. They forgot what he had done and the great wonders he had shown them. Again and again, they tested God's patience and provoked the Holy One of Israel. They did not remember his power and how he rescued them from their enemies. They did not remember the miraculous signs. So these guys are armed for battle. They're there on the battlefield and they turn and run because they think, oh, we're probably going to lose this battle. Do they stop and pray and say, God be with us in this battle? No, they turn and they run and they forgot what happened. And what does it do? It really seems to upset God. They tested his patience and provoked his holy anger, right? Okay, so this is something you have to humor me about, is that I absolutely love the story of the 10 virgins, the wise and the foolish virgins. And I believe that I have a new interpretation we could think about. So I want you to bear with me on this. It says, the kingdom of heaven shall be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise, 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps, but took no extra oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Now, typically the interpretation of this story is that the oil is the Holy Spirit, but I want to offer you something else. What if the oil is fuel and the fuel is the memories that we have? What if our memories are the fuel, right? Because all the virgins show up, they knew it was Jesus, they wanted to go to heaven, they were all there, right? And they all fell asleep. But what's the ones that woke up and had the oil were the ones that had the memories. And who reminds them of those memories? The Holy Spirit. So I'm saying that I think that this is the key, that our memories and how we think about how God has been and is in our life is the fuel that will fuel our faith and keep us strong through all the hard stuff that we're all going through right now. But it's going to seem counterintuitive. I'm telling you not to talk about dwelling or getting stuck in the past, right? So I'm going to read you a verse and let's see if we can understand this. This is Isaiah 43. I'm the Lord, your Holy One of Israel, creator and king, the one who opened a way through the waters. He's reminding you, made a dry path through the sea. I called forth Egypt's armies and the chariots and the horses. I drew them beneath the waves. They drowned. Their lives were snuffed out like a candle. But forget all that. It's nothing compared to what I'm doing right now in your life. I mean, that's all great stuff. Even the stuff I did in your life yesterday, saving you from a car accident, getting your kid into the school, whatever it is. But don't you see it? I've already begun to do something new even today. So let's not even just get stuck in Noah and Jonah or even what happened yesterday in my life, but what is happening, and it will lead us to tomorrow. So let me tell you that one of our most prevalent sins is forgetfulness. It's called spiritual amnesia, right? We forget how God has shown up for us. We forget who God is. We forget who we are and who God has called us to be, right? When you're stuck in traffic and you're like, we forget who our neighbor is, who our brother is, who our sister is. We forget all that. That is spiritual amnesia. We are called to remember, intentional remembering, not laziness. So we're back to Zakar now. Zakar gives us hope, and it's that he did it before, he'll do it again. We should like write that on our foreheads and tattoo it on our arms so we don't forget that we know God's gonna continue to show up. Remember, we talked about his presence. What part of God's story is he inviting you to recall? His power. What part of his story is he inviting you to replace or rewrite? You know, a lot of us have bad stuff in our memories, right? Maybe even God can help us rewrite those stories in a new way. But unless we revisit them with him, we can't even do that. And then the promise. What have you forgotten that God about how God has showed up in your life? This is probably, I think, the most important question because it helps you trust what's going to happen again in the future. So as promised, homework. So let me tell you about your homework. So the first homework is Psalm 77. I want you to read the psalm before the maskil psalm. And see, God agrees with me on that. Because that psalm, it like sets it up for you to really see the importance of Psalm 78. And then Psalm 145 is another really powerful remember psalm. It's just going to make you feel so good. The other thing is, remember we talked about sitting with God and asking him to remind you of things that have happened in the past, big and little. And then finally, the practice of the examine that you're going to introduce into your life. So take a picture, take your phone out, take a picture. And then I just want to leave you with this. This is David. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things that he has done for me. Thank you.
Hi, this is Randy McGray, podcast producer and host here at Whole Life Church. Loving people into a lifelong friendship with God is our mission at the Whole Life Church, and our podcasts are designed to help facilitate conversations that help us grow together in that pursuit. Now that you've heard the message for this week, don't forget to check out the Whole Life takeaways for this message. Swipe up in today's show notes and join the conversation. Speaking of conversations, each Wednesday morning we take a closer look at the week's message. That's right, the one you just listened to. We discuss practical ways to apply spiritual lessons and ask honest questions about the issues we face as Christians, all focused through the lens of grace. Your voice is a welcomed addition to that conversation. We encourage your thoughts and your questions by sending a voicemail or text to 407-965-1607 or send an email to podcast@wholelife.church. You can find everything podcast related on our website, wholelife.church/podcast. And plan on spending every Tuesday evening and Wednesday morning with us as we bring you the Whole Life Church inspiration you love straight into your headphones. Thanks for listening and have a great week.